Greetings, everyone. This is Fred Coulter. Welcome to Church at Home. Church at Home is dedicated to restoring original Christianity for today. What is it that the Bible teaches? Old Testament and New Testament. A lot of people say, well, we don't have to bother with the Old Testament because everything there has been fulfilled. Well, as we've been seeing in many of the things that we've been doing, that is not true. And especially when we come to the day that we celebrate in America called Thanksgiving. Why is it that we have this day? How is it that we became as a people to set aside a day just especially in thanksgiving to the Lord God Almighty of the Bible? As a matter of fact, the beginning of our nation was really quite unique. And it goes back to the time that in 1621, the very first Thanksgiving was celebrated by the Pilgrims. And after they had made the journey across the Atlantic Sea and came in great hardship and difficulty into this land, that they had their first successful harvest, and they were grateful and thankful. And so they set aside a special day to God. Now, there may be other nations that have days of Thanksgiving, but none as unique as the United States of America. Now, why is that? Well, that's because this nation is unique in how it was formed. Never has there ever been a constitution like the one that we have when we formed this nation. And now, whether you realize it or not, the Constitution of the United States is the oldest constitution, continuous constitution, in the world. Now, I have a book that is very interesting. It's called A Miracle That Changed the World, A 5,000-Year Leap. And what this does, this tells us some of the thoughts of the framers of the Constitution of the United States. And how they turned to God, prayed to God. They had prayer sessions before and after their deliberations. And it was all because when the founding of the United States began with the colonies here and later our separation from Britain through the Revolutionary War, that we really understood that this nation is unique indeed. Now, let me read about what is called the miracle at Philadelphia, and that's where the deliberations for the Constitution were held. Like the framers themselves, many Americans in the early years of the Republic truly regarded the Constitution as a miracle. Never before had there ever been a Constitution devoted to the common man. Never before had there been a Constitution and government where there was balances and checks, where there was laid out the way that it was with limited government and freedom for the people. At the Federal Convention in 1787, they declared that the formation and adoption of our new system of federal government represented a political achievement unprecedented in human history. They looked upon it, moreover, as an event that was actually influenced, guided, and governed by the hand of God. Is that true? Does that define and tell us why this nation is unique and great? Does that also help define and tell us why in America we have more Bibles than any other country in the world per capita? Isn't that amazing? But like anything else, having the Bible is far different from knowing and using the Bible. And yet the Bible itself tells us the beginning origins of this nation. And as a matter of fact, we find that in the book of Genesis. Why is it that America and Britain have become the greatest blessing to the world and have ruled the world in a magnanimous way for nearly 500 years? Now, we know that God rules in the nations of men. And we know that he has a special group of people called the children of Israel. And they came from the 12 sons of Jacob, whose name was changed to Israel. And it was promised that these nations who received the birthright from God through ancient Israel would become the greatest nations on the face of the earth and would be a blessing, just like the promise given to Abraham, that God said, come and follow me and go where I send you, and I will make your name great, and you shall become a great nation, and I will bless those that bless you and curse those that curse you, and the whole earth will be blessed because of you. Well, that blessing came down to the sons of Joseph. And this is why Thanksgiving and the way that we came to this nation as we are became so mightily important. And this is why the framers, because we had the Bible as the beginning, we had the Bible to tell us what we need to do. And they consulted the Bible and they consulted history in a way that has never been done before. So the adoption of the Constitution was a great and a marvelous thing for this nation indeed. James Wilson wrote, government in general has been the result of force, of fraud, and accident. After a period of 6,000 years have elapsed since creation, the United States exhibit to the world the first instance, as far as we can learn, of a nation unattacked by external force, unconvulsed by domestic insurrections, assembling voluntarily, deliberating fully, and deciding calmly concerning the system of government under which they wished that they and their posterity should live. And so they looked to God, and the Constitution of the United States reflects that. Under the guidance and divine providence. Well, did you know that this was prophesied? Let's go back to where this was prophesied in the book of Genesis. And let's see the special blessing that the ancient patriarch Israel gave to the sons of Joseph, Ephraim and Manasseh. Well, now the whole story of Joseph is quite unique, really, because the difficulties and problems of him being sent off into slavery, into Egypt, were really quite difficult. But God works everything according to his will and according to his purpose. And after saving the world because of the famine that came and the wisdom of Joseph in storing up the grain, during that famine, his brothers came down and his father came down, and then they lived in the area called the land of Goshen. Now, with the patriarchs, it's interesting that we need to understand this. They were given the official blessing by God to pass on to their descendants. And so here is the official blessing that came to the sons of Joseph, Ephraim and Manasseh, and then we will read the description of these blessings, and we will know that in the latter days, God promised that this would be fulfilled. So let's come to Genesis 48. Genesis 48. So this is really quite something, and then we'll read in Genesis 49 some of the blessings. So here is the time, Joseph's two sons, and Jacob, or ancient Israel as his name was, because his name was changed by God, meaning a prevailer with God, because he thought that Joseph had been dead for so many years, and finally realized that he was alive and became next to the Pharaoh in ruling Egypt. And then they came down, and because of the status of Joseph with Pharaoh, Pharaoh gave them all the land of Goshen, the finest pastures and things to live in, to bring their livestock and to conduct their lives. And then after living to the full, it was time to officially pass the blessing of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob to the sons of Joseph, and also to the rest of the sons of Israel. But the main blessing goes to Joseph for the birthright. And the birthright is the promise of land and wealth and power and rulership. So this becomes quite something. So when someone tells you, oh, well, everything in the Old Testament has been fulfilled, they really don't understand what they are talking about. So here is where the blessing took place. And this is quite something after Joseph brought his two sons to them. Verse 14, and Israel stretched out his right hand and laid it upon Ephraim's head, who was the younger, and his left hand upon Manasseh's head, crossing his hands, for Manasseh was the firstborn. Now understand that the firstborn was to get the greater blessing, but Israel reversed that so that the younger Ephraim would get the greater blessing. Both of them, though, receiving the birthright. And let's see what this blessing was to turn out to be. Verse 15. And he blessed Joseph and said, may God before whom my fathers Abraham and Isaac walk, the God who fed me all my life to this day, the angel who has redeemed me from all evil, bless the lads, and let my name be perpetuated in them, and the name of my fathers Abraham and Isaac, and let them grow into a multitude in the midst of the earth. Now this has nothing to do with the Jews from Judah. This has to do with the tribes of Israel and the two leading tribes of Ephraim and Manasseh. Verse 19, and he also, that is the firstborn, Manasseh, he also shall be great, but truly his younger brother shall be greater than he, and his seed shall become a multitude of nations, or a commonwealth of nations. And all of this began to be fulfilled in the end time, right just about the time that William Tyndale translated the Bible from the original Greek and the original Hebrew into English. And so it was very fitting that the sons of Joseph, Ephraim, and Manasseh, as well as the other tribes of Israel, as we will see, had the Word of God. And this is what guided them. This is why they came here. And it was the unseen hand of God that brought them here, that protected them, that gave us all that we have in the last 500 years. Verse 20, and he blessed them that day, saying, in you shall Israel bless, saying, God make you as Ephraim and Manasseh, and he put Ephraim before Manasseh. And Israel said to Joseph, behold, I die, God shall be with you, and bring you again into the land of your fathers. Now then, after that was done and that blessing was given, and this was the primary, the greatest blessing that he could give. Now we have online that you can download Judah Scepter and Joseph Birthright, so that it takes all the prophecies through the whole Old Testament and brings it down to the modern times to show you that it was God Almighty who rules in the nations of men, who brought us here, who gave us this land, who gave us our wealth, who made us the head and not the tail. Now when he blessed all the rest of his sons, Jacob called them all together and said, gather yourselves together that I may tell you what shall happen to you in the last days. Now this is why it's important for you to understand exactly what these prophecies are. In the last days. Now think about what the United States and Britain, the Commonwealth of Nations, our influence, our wealth, and everything that we have, and then we'll come back and tie that in with Thanksgiving so that we realize what God has given us and why we truly need to be thankful. Now let's read what he says here concerning Joseph. Now when the Bible speaks of Joseph, and the birthright, that means Ephraim and Manasseh. Now notice what this says. And remember, This is for the last days. Verse 22, Genesis 49. Joseph is a fruitful bough by a well whose branches run over the wall. Great growth and great success spreading out into the world. The archers have fiercely attacked him and shot at him and hated him. That's what it's been with us through all the history of America and Great Britain, hasn't it? But his bow abode in strength, and the arms of his hands were made strong by the hands of the mighty God of Jacob. Not by our resources, not by our skills, not by our wisdom, but by the hand of Almighty God. That's why the framers knew when they were constructing and developing the Constitution of the United States, and later the Ten Amendments called the Bill of Rights that went with it. They knew that they were getting these things from the Bible. They knew that they were trying to help the common man, just as God has through all of his laws in the Old and New Testament. Now notice how this is given, what a blessing that this is, and how it's to be fulfilled in the last days. By the God of your father who shall help you, may the Almighty bless you with blessings of heaven above, blessings of the deep that lies beneath, blessings of the breast and of the womb. The blessings of your father are greater than the blessings of my ancestors. To the utmost bound of the everlasting hills, they shall be on the head of Joseph and on the crown of the head of him, the ruler, the leader, who is separated from his brothers. So that's the blessing, and that's the foundation that was given to the United States of America and Great Britain, so that we would be able to take to the world the Word of God. And that was the mission that God had for us. That's why God established us as a godly nation, as a Christian nation, as one that the teachings for the children came right out of the Bible. Now, a lot of you may have heard of something like what is called the McGuffey Readers. Now, if you can get the McGuffey Readers, I'm sure you can find them online. Those were the textbooks that were used all through the 19th century to teach people about God, about right, about wrong, about morality. And there was prayer in school, and the Bible was there. And even as we have read, Abraham Lincoln got his basic education by reading the Bible by candlelight. That's why he was a God-fearing man. That doesn't mean they were perfect. It doesn't mean we have a perfect nation. But nevertheless, as you look at the history of Israel in the Bible, the blessing of God was always with them, and then he had to correct them for their sins. And he had to correct them for the things that they didn't do right. Because unfortunately, one of the problems of Israel is that they forget their God, they forget their Maker. And we're going to see that's quite a problem with the day that we call Thanksgiving. But isn't it interesting that this nation has that one day of thanksgiving to rejoice before God in all that he has given? And from the time of the founding of this nation, the beginning of it, and then later the developing of the nation, we relied on God. We prayed to God. We had days of prayer, days of fasting, days of remembrance, and then Thanksgiving as the official holiday, or they almost made it a holy day for the nation, for the United States of America. Never has there been a day like that. Never has there been a nation like this. So let's read some more blessings here concerning what the children of Israel were to do and how it was to be understood. Just before they went into the land of Israel, Moses again gave the blessing to the children of Joseph. So let's read that here. Let's see what it says about Joseph and how that he was to be the absolute ruler of the world in the last days. Now notice Deuteronomy 33 and verse 13. And of Joseph he said, blessed of the Lord be his land, with the precious things of the heavens, for the dew and for the deep that crouches beneath, for the precious things of the fruits of the sun, with the precious things of the yield of the months, with the chief things of the ancient mountains and of the precious things of the everlasting hills, for the precious things of the earth and the fullness of it, and for the goodwill of him who dwelt in the bush. Let the blessing come upon the head of Joseph and upon the head of him who was separated from his brethren. His glory is like the firstborn of his bull, and his horns are like the horns of the wild ox. With them he shall push the people together to the ends of the earth. They are the 10,000s of Ephraim, and they are the thousands of Manasseh. So yes, indeed, it is appropriate that we have a day of thanksgiving. And let's see how we have treated this day of thanksgiving and serving and loving God. And let's see what we need to do, because this is a very special time for us to remember that God is the one who raised up this nation. And that's why the leaders of this nation designed the Constitution based upon biblical principles. Now, I'm going to read a special letter written to the people of America about Thanksgiving and what we need to look to, by Dennis Fisher. Every year, millions of Americans, nearly the whole population of the United States, take part in a day dedicated to acknowledging the great blessings that have been bestowed upon them by Almighty God. As a national celebration, it is unique in both form and purpose. For many, it is a time for family and friends to come together in love and devotion. It is a time to rejoice and a time to give thanks to the one who made it all possible, Almighty God. Although other countries have similar holidays, there has never been a people in history that owes their Creator a greater debt of gratitude than those who founded their nation in His name. Americans are hands down the beneficiaries of the most extraordinary blessings of land, wealth, and freedom ever bestowed upon one people. But what have we done with these gifts, and how have we expressed our appreciation for these blessings? Today, Thanksgiving has become more about indulgence than about genuine heartfelt gratitude. Perhaps this is because these moral defects have become such a part of American life. Today, we worship the God of convenience and pleasure, not the God of moral purity. We seek out what makes us feel good, not what makes us good. And what have we gotten for it? Are we a better country because we can't tell the difference between freedom of speech and pornography? Has religious freedom somehow been strengthened by laws that make prayer in our schools a crime? What does it say about the thankfulness of a nation when snuffing out the life of an unborn child is actually defended as a moral right? What does it say about the morality, let alone the gratitude of a nation, when its legislatures proudly defend sodomy as the moral equivalent of one husband and one wife? And how thankful to God can a nation really be when at every turn it removes him from public life, government, courts, schools, churches, and our individual lives, all in the name of freedom, no less? Today, our moral and ethical compass is built upon the principles of me first, and our obsession with self consumes our daily lives. In that world, God, at best, is only allowed to make a guest appearance. The original intent of Thanksgiving was truly noble, and still can be. To our shame, this day has been threatened by our own arrogance and pride. While some may offer up a quick prayer before digging in, we conduct our lives as though God didn't exist. Perhaps Abraham Lincoln said it best.
We have been the recipients of the choicest bounties of heaven. We have been preserved these many years in peace and prosperity. We have grown in numbers, wealth, and power as no other nation has ever grown. But we've forgotten God. We've forgotten the gracious hand which has preserved us in peace, multiplied and enriched and strengthened us. And we vainly imagined in the deceitfulness of our hearts that all these blessings were produced by some superior wisdom and virtue of our own.
When the colonists first settled this land, the days were hard, but the future held a great hope. Today, we seem to have everything, all the physical blessings in the world, but our future looks so threatened and uncertain because we are morally bankrupt. Why does it have to be this way? Without a doubt, the courageous men and women who built this nation truly depended on Almighty God to preserve them and bless them. God was so real to them. He was spoken of with humility and confidence, and most of all, with reverence. Today, we profane and blaspheme His name and existence. We mock and reject His word. Today, there is no question that we have become the wealthiest nation in modern history. Therefore, on this day of national thanksgiving, would we not be better served to come before God on our knees in humble supplication and thanksgiving for all the bountiful blessings bestowed on us? Finally, if we are truly thankful, should we not further declare our love to God in wholehearted obedience to Him in our lives, as individuals, families, communities, and yes, the whole of the United States of America, in sincerity and truth? Respectfully, Dennis Fisher. Quite a lesson for us, isn't it? So on this Thanksgiving that is coming up, let's close by reading a very important psalm, Psalm 95, what we should really do and how we need to, in coming to God, realize that He has made all of these things possible. He has given us the land. He has given us our lives. We live and move and have our being in Him. And there is nothing that we didn't receive from Him. Everything, every breath we breathe, every morsel of food that we eat, every drop of water that we drink, it all comes from God. Now, in the early days in the proclamations, we'll read some of those in the next one, how the presidents of the United States upheld this day of thanksgiving so that the whole nation would look to God. But here is what we need to take from the Bible, Psalm 95 and verse 1. Oh, come, let us sing to the Lord. Let us make a joyful noise to the rock of our salvation. Let us come before His presence with thanksgiving, and make a joyful noise to Him with psalms. For the Lord is a great God and a great King above all gods. In His hand are the depths of the earth, and the peaks of the mountains are also His. The sea is His, He made it, and His hands formed the dry land. O come, let us worship and bow down. Let us kneel before the Lord God, our Maker. For He is our God, and we are the people of His pasture and the sheep of His hand. Ephraim and Manasseh, and the United States of America, to serve and love God. May we all on this day not only pray to God, but repent to God and thank Him for everything that He has given to us. Once again, thank you for inviting me into your home, and this is Fred Calder saying, until next time, so long, everyone.